Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. Today we're going to talk about the big idea, this big idea. How everyone, young and old, was included in the major Old Testament feast, the Feast of Israel, also known as the Biblical Feast, or special celebrations established by God for His chosen people. They are more than just traditions. They hold deep meanings that reveal God's character and His plan for humanity. These feasts were given to the nation of Israel as sacred times of worship, reflection, and gratitude, and they mark a significant events in Israel's history. These seven feasts, the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacle, or the Feast of Booths. For this series, we are using this awesome reference book called Intergenerational Christian Formation by Dr. Holly Allen and several other authors. Listen to what they say about the feast. In the religion of Israel, all ages were just not included. They were drawn in, assimilated, absorbed into the whole community with a deep sense of belonging. These commanded feasts were celebrated annually and included elaborate meals, dancing, music, singing, and sacrifices. All of Israel participated from the youngest to the oldest. We begin our journey in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, where God instructed Moses on how and when these feasts are to be celebrated. As we go through these, we'll see how our New Testament churches like ours weave elements of these feasts into our Southern Sunday service. The Feast of Passover is the first of the seven annual feasts. It is one of most significant celebrations for the Jewish people, marking a pivotal moment in Israel's history when God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. This event was so crucial that it formed the very foundation of Israel's identity as a nation and served as a continual reminder of God's mighty power and faithfulness and willingness to rescue His people in their time of need. Passover is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 12, where God commands Moses to instruct the Israelites to prepare for the final plague and the death of every firstborn in Egypt. The Israelites were told to select a lamb without blemish. The lamb was to be slaughtered at twilight, and his blood was to be applied around the door of each home. This act of obedience was critical, because it served as a sign for the death angel to pass over the home, sparing them from the judgment that was to come upon the land of Egypt. Thus, the name of Passover became synonymous with deliverance and salvation. The Passover meal itself was rich in symbolic and consisted of roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. Each element had a distinct meaning. For example, the lamb sacrifice for the family pointed to the principle of substitution, or life given for life. The bitter herbs reminded the Israelites of the bitterness of their bondage in Egypt. Spiritually, the Passover was more than a one-time event. It was to be observed annually and as a permanent reminder of God's redemption. And again, everyone, young and old, was included in these major Old Testament feasts. God instructed the Israelites to keep the Passover as a memorial forever. Exodus 12, verse 14 says that. And in every generation, Jewish families would gather to retell the story, ensuring that the legacy of God's deliverance would never be forgotten. This Passover feast reminds me of a meal that we participate in every week, communion. The bread and the cup remind us of Jesus, our Passover lamb who redeems us. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the second feast and is directly connected to the Passover. It begins the very next day after Passover, and for 7 days, according to Leviticus 23, verses 6 through 8. In fact, the Passover and unleavened bread are so closely linked together that they're often referred to as one extended celebration. The Feast of Unleavened Bread holds a unique spiritual significance as it represents the call to leave behind the old sinful ways and to enter a new life of holiness and purity. The command to celebrate this feast was given by God in Exodus chapter 12, 15 through 20. During the 7 days, the Israelites were instructed to remove all yeast from their homes and to eat only unleavened bread made without yeast, known as matzah. The act of removing leaven is not just a matter of physical preparation, but a symbolic act of purification. In the Bible, leaven is often represents sin, pride, and corruption. And this small ingredient, when adding to dough, spreads throughout, causing it to rise. And just like sin, if left unchecked, can spread and corrupt a person's heart and behavior. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a powerful reminder to live a life of holiness. Just as the Israelites had carefully searched their home for any trace of leaven, we are called to search our hearts and our lives, identifying and removing anything that may be displeasing to God. Again, everyone young and old was included in these major Old Testament feasts. The Feast of Unleavened Bread reminds me of the communion bread also, but it also reminds me of something else that we do each and every week around here. Confess our sins and receive the assurance of pardon. The Feast of First Fruits is the third of the seven feasts, which celebrated the promise of future harvest. It is less widely known compared to the other feasts, but yet it holds a profound significance both in Israel's agricultural cycle and in God's spiritual plan for his people. It's celebrated on the day after the Sabbath during the week of unleavened bread, according to Leviticus 23, 9 through 14. The Feast of First Fruits marks the beginning of the barley harvest and was a day set aside to offer the first sheaf of the harvest as a special offering to God. Though seemingly simple, this offering carries rich symbolic meaning reflecting gratitude, faith, and the promise of what is yet to come. Everyone young and old was included in these major feasts. The first fruits obviously reminds me of the giving portion in our weekly service. As a young man growing up in this community, giving was something that I struggled with. I was 24 years old, married, and we had just had our son when God brought us into this community. Before this community, neither Rose or I had any adult influences on how to budget money. It was hard. We wanted to give, but we just seemed to never have it. It took everything we had just to keep the lights on and keep food on the table, it seemed. but someone sitting here today asked me one day about my spiritual growth. They asked me, how's your prayer life? They asked me, how's your giving? Not good, I said. Not good. It's a struggle. 10% is a lot of money for us. His response to me, well, what can you do? Can you give $10? And in my mind, I was thinking, can I do that? Can I give that? What about 10%? I've always heard it, we got to give 10%. He said something simple, very simple to me that day. Just start somewhere. God will honor that. And that began to change my thinking. If you see, if giving is on a budget like mine was, most likely it's at the bottom. In this feast, God was instructing his people to put it at the top. The first fruits, the first sheaf of that harvest, which is the first growth, and to trust him for the future harvests. Since this is a lesson about being God's intergenerational community and not an in-depth study on the feast, we will pass over Pentecost and trumpets and Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Booths so that we can get to the point. The intergenerational book also pointed out that before he died, Moses gave the following instructions for one of these festivals, the Feast of Booths. Assemble the people, men, women, and the little ones, and the sojourners within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God. And as long as you live in the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess it, Deuteronomy 31, 12 and 13. In these settings, God clearly expects the older generation to be available to the younger to answer questions or offer explanations. For example, in Exodus 12, 26 and 27, it says, when your children ask you what this ceremony means to you, tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of Israel and Egypt and spared our home when he struck down the Egyptians. The adults participated with the children in singing and dancing and eating and hearing the stories and responding to the questions. It seems kind of quick, but in closing, I would like to share a little bit more about what God laid on my heart through this study. America is in a celebration deficit. Only 4.1% of Americans attended or hosted an event in an average weekend or holiday in 2023. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, this is about a 35% decrease since 2004. Just as Israel gathered to celebrate, ate, drank, to remember God's faithfulness and goodness, so should we. Some Christians tend to go around and tell everybody what's wrong. But we also need to learn to celebrate what's right. These feasts were all about celebrating the history of God's truth and goodness. You know, I love it when the Holy Spirit reminds me of God moments in my life. Do you have God moments? Here's some. That career break you had. The long-awaited child. The addiction that has been broken. The new home found. And becoming debt-free. Throw a dinner party to celebrate God's goodness. Invite those people that were along with you along in the journey along with you. And people that who you think would love to hear the story. Toast together to prayers answered. And at last, let there be dancing in delight. These may be some of the very people who urgently need to hear that God is at work. Everyone young and old was included in these major Old Testament feasts, so let's be sure to include them in ours. It has been so much fun studying and being reminded that God gave these feasts. He gave the Israelites these feasts to remind them what he had done for them. He did it so that they would never forget. And he did it so that they could pass it down through generations, giving them instructions like bring a lamb without blemish, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, allowed them to take part and to live out the retelling of an amazing story of God's redemption. Let's fast forward to the Last Supper where Jesus and his disciples were gathered right before him going to the cross, where he too gave instructions to be passed down, that he was the Lamb without blemish who laid down his life to apply his blood for an atonement once and for all. Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he had taken a cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And now we come to this table this morning that is prepared for us, where God invites all who put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And as we gather this morning, both young and old, as family, as a community, we too come and partake, to take part in, and to live out the retelling of an amazing story of redemption to the next generation. So when the little ones and the young in faith ask, "Why do we eat this bread and drink this juice?" you can retell the story of our salvation through Jesus, our Savior. Believers, when you're ready, come to the Lord's table and celebrate.